And so we'll go ahead and get started now. If we do not know the foundation on which the founding fathers laid for this nation, then we as a nation have no understanding on what we are to do to be today. Thus are we a nation that has no clear vision for tomorrow. So we're getting close to the 4th of July time frame. It's going to get kind of busy. And it's always close to me as far as a nation to look at where we stand, where we came from, and the misinformation that comes out is constantly trying to deter from our country. So I put some things together here to kind of bring about, especially for the kids. You guys are going to be the generation that comes up and are going to teach your kids. And if we lose these things and we take away the foundations and the principles, the biblical foundations, biblical principles, and what the word says, then we're going to lose it. And we're within a couple generations from things being completely different if we don't. And so this is something that's the highest importance, I would call. So here's some that I put together. This comes from the Global Rich List, and it's pretty cool thing. It will tell you where you stand. So you put in how much money you made, and it will tell you where you stand in the world. Okay? So what is your percentage of the world? Now, as we look at this, if you make $50,000 a year, this is what it shows you. You have 18 million and some that make more than you. Okay? But you think about this in the billions of people that are in the earth, okay? 0.3%, that's where you land if you're 50,000, okay? Okay, now let's drop down here to 25,000. There are now 120 plus million that make more than you. You're top 2% of the world, okay? What if you work 40 hours a week, making $8 an hour? Okay, anybody know how much that would be? I'll tell you, it's $15,360. That's 40 hours a week at $8 an hour. That's what that comes out to be. You're 7%. You are 445 million people that make more than you do, but you are the top 7% of the world. Okay? So when we look at this and we look at our nation, you think to ourselves, you know, people who made that minimum wage and said, well, they're 15,000, our country would consider them in poverty. That's poverty level. Okay? And as the world's standards are, you're in the top 10%. That's top 10%. So this was, I ran this today going through there and I'm like, oh, and this just blows me away. It absolutely blows me away. The average is, it comes in to be about $4,000 to $5,000 when you take in the billions of people across the earth. It's really, really low. And so we are a very blessed nation. Here's from 2014 USA average income. This is from the IRS. Now this is showing, breaks it down in categories because they couldn't just say individual. They had to break it down. So if you're married filing jointly in 2014, the average in the United States is almost $18,000. Okay, married filing jointly is about $65,000. Head of household, $36,000. Widower, about $57,000. And filing singles, about $35,000. And this is the average. This is the average for the United States. That's 2014 IRS data. So what does that say? I mean, what does that say that we're, you know, people be like, oh, well, I make, $35,000. It's not great, but in the grand spectrum of everything, we are blessed. And we have to refocus our, you know what? You put that $35,000 in there, you're still the top 1% of the world. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. So as we look at this, a history is another thing that's really important to me. When we listen to the Chuck got through one teaching there, the history, the teaching courses, and it was the history, and it had the nine principles of history. And the guy told you, the instructor told you right at the very beginning, this is a college course, listen to the audio, he said, only one principle really matters, and that's that we don't learn from history. That we don't learn from history. We are doomed to repeat it. He goes, that's the only thing you need to remember from this course. The other eight principles, I'll go into all this and everything else. But he goes, that's it. We are doomed to repeat it over and over and over again. And you look through the whole Old Testament, and that's what you see. But we're going to look at it. We're coming up. July 2nd is actually our Independence Day. not July 4th. July 4th is when they signed the document. They actually voted for it on the 2nd. And everybody thought that the 2nd would be that the day was celebrated. It just turned out to be the 4th because that's the day that they pinned it. Okay, but a nation was born. And so we're going to kind of look in history of a nation being born here from Yahweh. And so the Israelites were given a nation by Yahweh. In the time of Yahushua, they crossed over and witnessed the wonders and blessings of Yahweh. After Yahushua and his generation died, another great generation grew up, and what happened?
Okay. Yahweh.
One generation. What happened between one to the next generation was 9-day difference. And that's where it's important to see that and to realize that from history, that if we don't ingrain this into the other generations, that, you know, what we when we leave, we go to sleep, that the next generation is going to take over, and we want them to be able to do this.
Right.
Okay? Generation after Yahushua did evil in the eyes of Yahweh and served the foreign gods, the foreign Elohims. That generation disobeyed Yahweh, the Elohim of their ancestors. So let's start off here, and we're going to read here in Judges chapter 2. So if you kids go to it there, I'll have you help me read as we go through here. We'll take turns. Page 262. You there, Esther? Why don't you read the first three, Melania? You can either read the next three, and then Isaiah, you go the next three, and then you can do the Elijah. You can do the next three after that.
1-3. 2-1 through 3.
And the messenger of Yahweh came up from Gilgal into Bochim, and he said, "I led you up out of Egypt and brought you into the land which I had sworn unto your fathers. And I said, I have not broken my covenant with you. No time, two times is by you, but ye must not."
Solemnize
a covenant with the
inhabitants
of this land. Their altars must be teared down, and this have not hearkened to my voice. What is this ye have done? Where also I said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be your adversaries, and their God shall become to your snare.
And Melania, why don't you read the next three, sweetheart?
It came to pass when the messenger of Yahweh had spoken these words unto all the sons of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. So they called the name of that place Bochim.
Which means weeping, by the way. That's weeping is what the definition of that.
And offered sacrifice there unto Yahweh. Now when Joshua had let the people go, the sons of Israel went their way, every man to inheritance to take possessions of the land.
All right.
And the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, and the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of Yahweh which he had wrought for Israel. So then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him within the bounds of his inheritance in the Timnath Heroes in the hill country of Ephraim on the north of Mount Gash.
Glad you would read 10 through 12 for me.
In that generation also were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who had not known Yahweh, nor even the work which he had wrought for Israel. So the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and served the Baals, and forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and went after other Elohims from among the gods of the people who were round about them, and bowed themselves down to them, and angered Yahweh.
That's it. And so this is one generation. And so we look at that. This is Yahweh's people. It was a nation that was given by Yahweh for them to go into. Promised land for them to go to. And what happened is how quickly things turn from that. And so it's always our job to continually be instructing and to know the accurate history. And that's kind of one of the things here. We're going to kind of go over some of those things. So the founding of our country, our founding fathers, this nation, laid the country's foundation with a view to biblical values. There is so much propaganda and junk that's being taught at the college levels and whatnot about things that, no, this was not, and, you know, the founding fathers were, you know, they were horrible people, and they had mistakes. They had done a lot of bad things as well, but the founding of our country is without doubt based on Christian principles. Not understanding this erodes the Christian values our founding fathers had set in the course of the United States. To know the founding of our country and the men involved and how Yahweh blessed this nation. How Yahweh deals with the country depends solely on what that country does. So if a country, Yahweh blessed this country with Yahushua, he puts him in there, Joshua comes in, the generation after that turned completely away. And so what happens is you see this. Is this, was that the country that Yahweh had for them? Yeah, the new nation. And so, yeah, can it happen to it? That's where I see people all the time. You hear people talk about that, you know, with Israel. Well, Israel's a promise, you know, it's a promised land. I'm like going, was it, Israel's always been a promised land. Have they been kicked out of Israel before? Yeah, it's happened before. You become wicked, yeah. Don't think that you're going to have the graces of Yahweh on you. Okay? Would it be a surprise to me to see something happen? Not at all. You turn wicked, guess what? You lose the grace of Yahweh. That's just what's going to happen. And so with our country, it's important that we teach this and that we know the differences. Let's flip over to Psalms 22.
It makes me think of the mosque and the sound of the temple area.
What's that?
The mosques.
I listened to a show not too long ago about that. And the Dome of the Rock, they intentionally built that where the Jewish people believed that that was the Holy of the Holies of the Old Temple. That's not by chance. That's not by chance. Do you know that a Jew that goes up to the top of that, not in the Dome of the Rock, but up on top of the wall, is not allowed to pray? And if they see you, your lips moving, they'll come and chase you away. And if you do it a couple times, you get arrested. That's now. That's today. That's right now. So yeah, is that chance that that happens? No, of course. It's always attack against Yahweh's people. It's always going to be that way. Always has been that way. Okay, 22, 28 through 31. And I will read that as soon as I get to it here. All right. 28 through 31. For to Yahweh belongeth the kingdom, and one to rule over the nations. All the great ones of the earth shall eat and bow down, before him shall kneel all that go down to the dust. Even he who had not kept alive his own nephesh, my seed shall serve him. I shall be recounted of the Lord, or Adonai, to a generation that shall come, that his righteousness be declared to the people to be born, that he wrought with effect. And so this is our goal, that, you know, as we instill this into the kids and put it into the younger groups and the other generations, to teach them and raise them upright and to always be talking about it. I have told every single one of my clients in the last, since Chuck and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, about that with the money. That if you make this much money, here's where you are in the world. Is this a blessed nation? And every single person are like going, yeah, I never really thought of it. And they're like going, you're kidding. I'm like, no. We have to view ourselves that yes, it's a blessed nation. And we can keep that blessing in this nation if we keep our allegiance to the boss. Okay? And we do what's right. All right. So next one here. Let's roll on. Founders of our country. Here's a kind of a cool little thing that I came across here on the internet. 1973, University of Houston, Political Science Department. Well, first of all, when you hear that nowadays, you're kind of like weary, but it was in 1973, okay? But it was kind of a neat thing. They did a big search out. So they released the results, 10-year study revealing the sources our founding fathers used most frequently in forming our present system of government. So what they did is this whole group, over 10 years, pulled documents and papers of things that related to our founding and what they based it on. Because we do know they based it on some things. They based it on some of the Greek principles of the Romans, some of the things that they did. Here's some of the good things. Here's some of the bad, but everything that they did, they put before Yahweh. And so this was kind of a neat little survey that they, or a little thing they came up with. From the pool of nearly 15,000 documents from our founding period, the researchers selected about 3,200 documents they considered most significant to our founding fathers. The research revealed our founding fathers quoted heavily from three intellectuals, okay? Montesquieu, Blackstone, and Locke. These were a lot of these foundations where they were quoting them, okay? And this was important. Most interesting conclusion from the research, founding fathers were more dependent upon the Bible than they were the three intellectuals. Okay? Even though those were the three intellectuals, the Bible is quoted four times more than Montesquieu, 16 times more than Blackstone or Locke. Okay? So to look at this with these documents, 3,200 documents basically, and to go through there and to see what they used as scriptural references for that. 94% of the quotes from founding fathers were based on the words of Yahweh.
Wow.
Okay? 34% of the quotes were direct from scripture. 60% of quotes were used basically that the Bible had come to their, had driven their conclusions. The book quoted most often in the founding was Deuteronomy. Now, why is that?
The book of the law.
That's right. This is the law. This is the forming.
Yeah.
This is the foundation of things that can be done, can't be done, and how we set it up. This is a setup here. Deuteronomy was. So this is where most of the quotes came from Deuteronomy. Blackstone, remember, he was one of the three, used scripture referring to chapter and verse for every principle of law that he cited. He based it off of Deuteronomy. Okay, he was one of the three that was most used. Blackstone's commentary on law introduced in 1757, remember this is years before, became the law textbook for lawyers for 160 years, and Supreme Court quoted from it to settle cases. Not any time in my life.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is where it was founded, and this is what came about. And so when you hear the people say, well, there really wasn't, you know, we weren't formed on a Christian basis, it's absolutely hogwash. It was one after another. The studies that they've done, the words that they've written, the quotes that they have given. Here's a couple examples for it. Tax exemption for the churches. Okay? Ezra 7:24. And you, we do certify that as touching any of the priests or the Levites, the singers, doorkeepers, what is the nethinim?
Servers.
So is it just servers? Because I know the doorkeepers are like the caretakers or janitor type things. I know what the nethinim are. Or the servitors of the house of Yahweh, tribute, excise, or toll, shall it not be contempt to impose upon them. So remember, they didn't pay. They weren't to pay. And so they used kind of some of those principles from it. Three branches of the government based on Isaiah 3:22. For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king. And so what you have is judicial, legislative, and the king would be the executor. Okay? And this is how they had that. They did not want a king of man, they wanted everything to be based on it, but this is how they base it, the three forms of government. Separations of powers, that was based on the book of Jeremiah. And so they knew what they were doing, and they went to the Word to find out what's the best way to do this, and then they used these other intellectuals, you know, the three guys, who also based a lot of the things that they did off biblical principles. The Liberty Bell, for example, you remember this one here? Did you guys know how to read Roman numerals? Anybody? Any kids? All right, what is this here? Now remember this V right here, that means verse, this one right there. So what scripture is this?
Leviticus
35.
Don't use this V right here. This V stands for verse.
There's two X's in
a V. There's two X in a V.
35:10?
No,
25:10,
very good. Okay, they put this on here intentionally. Okay, it is on the Liberty Bell, and here's Leviticus 25:10. Go ahead, Elijah, why don't you read that for me?
So shall ye hallow the 15th year and proclaim freedom throughout the land to all the dwellers thereof. Jubilee shall be unto you, and ye shall return every man to his possession, and every man to his family shall ye return.
That's it. And here it is. See this right here? Proclaim liberty. That's exactly it. Proclaim freedom. And so they put this on there, okay? And they put the scripture reference on there as well. Let's flip over a couple pages here to Psalms 33. Psalms 33:12-18, and I'll read this here.
Now, this year's supposed to be a year of Jubilee?
Yeah, isn't that cool? Like, what it's really neat there when you see the way that our country was put together and how close it could have fallen and the things that they had to do to get it all to pull together and to dedicate it, you know, to God Almighty. That's what they did. And so to have that and then to now, well, we don't need to because that wasn't our founding. Well, as soon as you go away from that, you go away from the heritage and you go away from the things, you're doomed to repeat the same things, and it will happen if we don't. You know, it's our job to keep doing this, and we push back. They push into you, you push back. All right, 12 through 18, it's going to be on page 544. Okay, here we go. Starting in verse 12 through 18, how happy the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, the people he hath chosen as his own inheritance. Out of the heavens hath Yahweh looked. He hath seen all the sons of men. Out of the settled places of abode hath he fixed his gaze. On all the inhabitants of the earth, who fashioneth their hearts altogether, who understandeth all their doings. Not a king can be saved by greatness of force, nor hero deliver them by greatness of strength. A deception is the horse of victory. So let's talk about this for a second. I've seen this before where people say that. They're like, well, how do you go up against the government? You know, what are you going to do? They've got tanks, they've got aircraft and everything else. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's it right there. That's exactly what it says. A deception is the horse for victory. You're looking at chariots. So if you're standing out there with rocks that you're going to throw and a chariot's coming by, that's the tank to us nowadays. There's no difference. There's no difference whatsoever. It's perception. How do I perceive? Same way. The teaching, right teaching. David looks at Goliath and he goes, no, you're nothing to me because my creator stands with me and we will defeat you. The same thing. And so a deception is the horse for victory. This is 17b. And by his great strength, he shall not deliver. He shall not deliver. Lo, the eye of Yahweh is towards them who revere him, unto such as are waiting for his hased. And that's it. And so when we look at that, we can't be looking at we're overpowered the same way that the Israelites looked at the Philistines, who would come and mock day upon day, you know, come in morning, leave in the evening, and mock and mock and mock. And that's what happens to Christians. They mock you. And the same way, and that's where you got to push back. And we don't look at numbers. We don't look at the force. We look at who's with us, and it's Yahweh. Our founding. This is kind of a cool one here. Second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the Day of Deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forever. And that's John Adams. He wrote to his wife on the 3rd of July telling her this. And I'm like going, yeah, this is where, and the whole focus is it as the day of deliverance by solemn acts by God Almighty. And if we forget that, we're just like, oh, well, you know, we came in and took this country from the Indians. We've got whatever we have coming. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like going, really, really? You know, Yahweh marched across his own people into an inhabited land. Inhabited by who?
Canada.
The adversary.
Yeah.
Okay, the adversary that inhabited the land. So are we supposed to feel sorry for the adversary?
Yep.
Sorry, but we're going to dwell with you. Well, what happens when that takes place? Okay, yeah, we all run awry. Things go down really quick. And so I love this from him. He was so proud of this, of what should happen, realizing that the 4th would actually be the day, but it was actually the 2nd. Flip over to Deuteronomy. Let's take a peek at this here real quick.
He wrote that before the war was over.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Deuteronomy going to be on page 217. And one of you kids want to read it there? It's 18 through 22. Who would like to read? Or do you want me to?
I will.
Go ahead. She had her hand up. Go ahead and read, sweetheart.
Judges and officers shall thou appoint thee in all thy gates, which Yahweh thy God, thy Elohim, is given unto thee, by thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not take note of faces, nor shalt thou accept the bribe, for the bribe blindeth the eyes of wise men, and preventeth the words of righteous men. What is right is right. Shalt thou pursue, and that thou mayest live and possess the land which Yahweh thy Elohim has given unto thee. Thou shalt not plant thee as a sacred stem any tree, near unto the altar of Yahweh thy Elohim, which thou shalt make for thyself, neither shalt thou set thee up a pillar which Yahweh thy Elohim doth hate.
That's it. And so this is here. We look at this. This is laws. And this is appointment of judges and what to look for when we're doing in judges. And I think to myself all the time as we look through there and we read these, it should be no difference when we're going to elect senators, congressmen, judges. Everything should fit that bill. And if it can't fit in that bill, you're not the person. You're not the one for it. But this is how it was set. And these are some of the principles that were used. Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon the embodied teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and institutions are emphatically Christian. This is a religious people. This is a historical truth. Historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there's a single voice making affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed at a volume of unofficial utterance that this is a Christian nation. This was from 1892 Supreme Court Justice. Okay, this is what Yahweh had in mind. Okay, and when we live under this type of rule, we are going to stay blessed, and we are going to have the blessings of Yahweh upon us as a nation. And so I'm like going, golly, you know, that's a little over 100 years ago, and how much has changed since then that you couldn't even get it. Boy, if you even uttered Christianity, if you even said the word Christianity when you come before the Senate hearings, they're going to ridicule you for that. They're doing that right now with one of the appointments. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Bernie Sanders attacked a guy because of a comment that he had made about Christianity when he was comparing against Muslims. And they grilled him, and they grilled him ferociously over that. And I'm like, when I'm watching this guy, and the guy's like, he did great, but they're pushing him back against the wall because he's a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like going, golly, what's happened? So this is where we've got to take back. We've got to push back always. What always goes wrong, here's what happens over and over again. You could actually write this in stone and put this out. Here's what not to do. Okay, here's what not to do. And Yahweh's kind of done this for us. The lack of hunger for Yahweh's word, serving one's flesh or living for oneself, the influences of world views. You have Supreme Court justices that are in office right now who want to disband the Constitution to use world law instead of constitutional law. Lack of knowledge of our founding fathers' effort to please Yahweh in governing this nation. Losing sight. Remember, Yahweh rules over nations. That's what we just read. Okay, men don't rule over nations. And when we do and fall away from it, then Yahweh will turn away from. This fact is seen in declarations made by several of our recent national leaders saying, yeah, last one as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. Americans do not consider ourselves to be a Christian nation. Okay, that's coming from a top person. Absolute lie. Absolute lie. And what does the rest of the world hear when they say that? Okay? Wrong answer. You don't speak for us. Okay? You don't speak for us. But this is the things that come out. An attempt to change our history and traditions. It was his wife who came out and said that. That we have got to learn to change our history, change our traditions, and change our voices. Okay? And I'm like, well, you can't change history. Or can you? Okay, you're doomed to repeat it, but when you lie and you leave things out of history, you are going to repeat it. You will do the same thing over again. Let's go to Exodus. And Esther, why don't you read this one here? Okay, we're going to be on page 102, I believe. And read 19 through 23 for me. Page 102.
Okay. 19 through 22. Okay. 23,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, how can I enter my glory? Let me conceal thee, and may God be with thee. Be thou for the people in front of Yahweh, so shalt thou bring them out unto Yahweh, and thou shalt cause the sign upon them, to statutes and the laws made known to them to weigh whereon they should go and the work they should do. Thou art the self, therefore, shalt look out from among all the people, men of ability, reverers of Yahweh.
Reverers of Yahweh, that's exactly right. William?
And for the haters of
extortion,
and place them over them as rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, so that they judge the people at any time, yet shall be. All the great matters shall they bring into thee, but all the small matters shall they themselves judge. So lighten thou the burden for thyself, and let them bear it with thee. If this thing thou wilt do, and Yahweh shall command thee, thou shalt be able to endure ye. Moreover, all this people shall go in to their dwellings contented.
That's it. It's a recipe for success. Okay? Recipe for success when governing and doing this. And so I love this, and I love the fact that our founders used the best of everything, but then they matched it up against the principles of Yahweh to see, to make sure what is it that we need to do, and to make sure that we form a government that will do this. Resistance to tyranny becomes a Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights in which heaven gave, and no man ought to take from us. First guy of the signature, Herbie Hancock of the Declaration. Next one here. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow man, and to piety, love, reverence towards Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be. John Adams. So this is where we look at it. To hear their quotes, for crying out loud, I could do an hour of just quotes that are Christian quotes from these guys of how they felt, how they formed our government, and so that for us to remember that and continually pass that on. So when we come across and see people out and about, that we're sharing these things with people. When people say that, you know, I did a teaching, I think last 4th of July, where I talked about the separation of church and state. It's important for kids to know this, because I'm going to tell you, every single person I came in contact with the military thought that separation of church and state was in the Constitution. Every single person. And a lot of these guys I worked with were college graduates and had degrees where they took, you know, law, they took civics in college, had no idea that the separation of church and state is not ever mentioned in the Constitution, has nothing to do with it. But yet it's been brought down to us, and the kids are going to come across this, they're going to hear about this, and we have to be able to defend it. Okay, show me. Here's a little book. Where is this? It's not in there. And then explain where it did come from and why it did come out the way it did. It has nothing to do with any of these things.